fart bread. Welcome to Hashtag Set Life.
Hashtag Set Life. New name, same show. Finally landed on something.
Something
I like
that
it.
Felt right.
It did feel right.
Just get rid of this contraption.
Yeah, put that thing away. I missed it. As you know, I do.
It needs to warm up. You know, the connection has to be clean. And I rarely am, so.
Well done. Well done. All right, so here we are back. It is October. I think the last time that we recorded it was April or May.
Yeah, yep.
And the reason for that is we've been kind of busy, scattered busy, enough, I guess, to...
Yeah, back-end busy.
When you're working, I'm not working. I'm working, you're not working. It was kind of a... It was a hard way to get
available, and we had other things to talk about, and never really enough time to just sit and do this. You know what I mean? It does take a dedication, and we're still working on it, but we're going to keep it up for you guys. We're going to keep bringing it to you. We enjoy it. I know we're constantly told people love our stories, so this is what we're here for. Tell those stories.
Tell us briefly, Joe, what have you been up to? What's some of the cool shit you've been doing?
Since April, I did a movie called Connected Through Blood with our good friend Rodazon, which you've worked with several times this year. it was a drama, which a little more precious style, which is a little more different for that element of filmmaker. You know what I mean? Which was nice. It was refreshing. That was fun. More recently, I did something Halloween-y, right? Something
Halloween-y.
Horror sci-fi-esque, right? This movie, Tweed, that we're still not finished. We're doing some final days at a haunted house.
Oh, cool.
At Eloise. Yeah,
ooh, I love Eloise.
One, right?
And, I got to remember, I kept looking at you last time.
Doing like 5 days of that in November, the end of November, it's seeming. But we'll see, you know. Whenever they can get it for the cheapest.
Well, yeah. Eloise does a haunted house not through Halloween.
So they have to wait until they're done with
it. And I don't think it ends at Halloween. I think they spill over a little bit.
It does. We were hoping to get in like the first or second week of November before Thanksgiving, but that's not going to work out. But, you know, whatever. It's filmmaking. We'll get it done.
Eloise is cool because that's right up in, you know, our area where we grew up.
Yeah, yeah. And even where my father grew up was an old mental asylum. And he used to tell me stories growing up about, like, walking past there to get to, like, the Kroger or the local store to, like, buy his candy or groceries, help him with groceries, walking with his mom and stuff. Because they only had one car in the family or whatever. And
yeah.
They'd, like, give them candy. But, you know, the ones that were out in the yard were the safer ones. I'm using air quotes.
Right? I grew up in Shacktown there. We moved before I started kindergarten. But my older brother, that was his knocking around grounds. And so I remember him telling stories about him and his friends or whomever busting into the place. And
I did that. Couple times with some people.
I never did. I wish I had.
Not your brother, unfortunately.
No, the age gap.
But it was the thing to do. It had been there for a while, and just sitting there, like, you could just pull up in the parking lot, and like there was a grocery store right next. You could park there, sneak over. Like sometimes,
It was pretty convenient.
There were security guards, but there was like the one.
Yeah, but it's a large property.
Huge.
And having never personally been on it, but driving by it, I never really understood the scope of it. And checked out a map. I didn't realize there were so many buildings at one point.
Yeah,
there's
like
no longer buildings there.
The golf course that's there now, that was their grounds.
Mm-hmm.
That, all that. The whole 18 course golf.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. It was all medical. There's still like the tunnels. Go from downtown Detroit all the way out past like Northville and crap like that. Like,
wow,
they're all interconnected. Yeah, with the old Detroit salt mines.
Yeah, I didn't think that far. That's crazy.
Yeah, all of it's interconnected. You know,
In your
civilization is built on top of the filth.
Right? In your ventures through there, did you ever experience anything paranormal?
Yeah, I believe. You know, I mean, it's hard to explain. A lot of the stuff was a long time ago, but like...
Through the eyes of a child?
Yeah, yeah. Capricious youth. You know, I wasn't necessarily a child at the time, but yeah, same. Yeah, the metaphor reigns. Yeah, like... Some things could be explained by a wind or a friend around a corner running, and like say they ran past something, didn't make a sound, but the repercussion of the wind hit something else,
right?
Because it's been so still in there for so long. But there were things I saw mm-hmm. with my eyes, or like felt at least, and I felt them in my core to the point where I felt like I saw them. If I didn't see them, I felt like I saw them, and they were weird. They were eerie, and you just kind of ignore it and walk on by and hope it don't follow you, you know, my experience.
The local folklore seems to bring a lot of attention to the place because Eloise is starting to become a popular location for films.
Yes.
You know, Chasing the Ghost, I'm wearing the shirt here, Chasing the Ghost had a spot there. There was the movie Eloise. I forget who was in that, but that was a few years back.
Eliza Dushku.
Okay, you know, yeah. And that told the story. And that was, I think that was done during the time we had incentives. I think that was an incentive.
No, that was...
Post-incentive?
It was post-incentive. It just happened to be when the new owners got it. And they were about to rehab a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And they fixed up just enough to allow them filming capabilities mm-hmm. so that it looked untarnished in the film. And then they went forward with the renovations.
Dominus, I think Dominus shot there. Did you work the day there?
I did not work the one day they shot there.
So when was the last time you personally were actually at Eloise?
Oh, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. Yeah, so
the last time I was there, I broke in.
Okay,
sure.
So my question to you is, with the popularity of it in the local ether of using it because of the haunted stories and its great location, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that the location itself is worthwhile of the set visits, or do you think that a lot of it is predicated on, you know, what could possibly be there? Yeah.
No, man. The architecture is beautiful, and the basements are ghastly, ghostly, mm-hmm. And they go deep down, and there's some sick shit down there. Like, there's chains. Like, when I went down there, like, I don't know if there were actual skeletons, but I saw some shit down in them tunnels.
And I can imagine that a lot of that is possibly closed off with the renovation.
There was definitely rounded. Oh, yeah. Like we kicked through some wood to get to places. Like, we did, we're already doing illegal shit.
Right, right.
Like... And it's like looking back, like I've done so much in construction since then, like we could have kicking out one of those wooden plank doors, you know, that was boarded off, had a cave in. Like we could have caused an emergency.
Yeah. I mean, that's why those dilapidated buildings are, you recommended not to go around because there's a lot of danger there.
A lot of fun if you don't go in.
That's not the point. The point is it's dangerous.
But I mean, that was in a day when we weren't able to record everything. Like, mm-hmm. like I had one friend bring like a camcorder in an old like hi-fi Super 8 or something, you know, and only like half of the footage came out.
No.
So there is that. But at one point he ran into like liquid mercury, like a bathtub full of liquid mercury.
What?
He actually like took like a jug of it home because he found an empty jug.
Why was that even there?
I don't.
Like, what was the original practical use of a bathtub of mercury?
But I don't know if him coming in contact with mercury could have erased the tape either, because it's not magnetized, right? But it does have its own properties.
I was always told not to touch mercury.
No, it's poisonous. Yeah, they all got, like, sick. Yeah, like, I came over to his house with Vinny Latta. I don't know if you remember the Lattas. Anyways, what's up, Vinny? If you're out there, you remember this, give it a comment. This story was crazy. Like, I showed up, and he's at his house, and they're pouring pools of it on his kitchen counter and like smacking it, and they're amazed by the properties. Most of these guys were like high school dropouts, right?
Sure.
The Westland Juggalos and shit, you know, that kind of crew, you know, some of my drug connects back in the day. Anyway, yeah, like I just showed up over there to jam with Vinny because he had his drum kit and shit. And they're playing with that shit, and I was like, I'm the fuck out of here. Because it was, like, all over the house.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're laughing, and I'm like, oh, they all wound up in the hospital. Yeah.
Wow. There's no no good was going to come of that. No, no fun.
It was like 3 days after we broke
that was
together.
That was Tweed, and I hope that Tweed, I hope that you guys get in there, because that would be really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing that. What was some of the cool shit that you did on Tweed? The pictures were pretty cool. I know I don't want you to go outside of what you're allowed to talk about.
We went to the old Detroit Packard plant.
Mm-hmm.
That's I think about to be leveled. So
really,
yeah, I heard rumors from the guys that were there, the security guys that let us in and stuff.
I mean, it's just a wasted space right now, right?
But it's so beautiful cinematically. Like, you can film so much.
Yeah,
stuff
but how there. Much can be shot there? I mean, before it's like, oh, here we are again at the fucking Packard plant.
It depends on your artistry, sir.
Yeah, I mean, no disagreement.
We filmed
there.
In the tunnels there, and then also up in the buildings. But I was made to make the buildings look like the tunnels became more cavernous, mm-hmm. right? And that maybe they had shafts to outside, or there was like a dull glow. And it was really refreshing. It was like all the shine on steroids with my artistic input and mm-hmm. my ability to just play with light, like paint on the monitor. It was,
yeah.
And the director, Alex Wraith, he was just so accepting, like, especially once, like, we worked out our little kinks of getting to know each other professionally, right? He was more in front of the camera than behind it. So he came to be like, well, if Joe's eye likes it, then that's the one I want to look at, right? And yeah, so it was really refreshing creatively.
Cool.
It's fun to work on. And I think the story will be captivating if it's edited right. And I recommended you as an editor for it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm open. I'm available.
Yeah, man. Hopefully it comes out good. It was a fun project. It was a new filmmaker, you know, a new actor-director. But he's came up in New York and lives in L.A. now. He's got some connections. Hopefully it pans out.
Do you know what the motivation to make a movie here was?
He heard that we're probably getting incentives back and that we have a really good work ethic and, like, it's pretty cheap to make a good movie here.
Okay.
And, yeah, I told him, yeah, like, I schooled him on the, like, we do know the business and, like, you know, he actually, like, they were in production with another producer that he saw the bad side of business.
Sure.
On the first leg, and luckily they got my number and were able to get in on the right route of, like, the kind of people that are going to take care of you, but you better take care of them.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, it all worked out. I think it's going to be a good relationship. He wants to do 3 or 4 movies a year. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'd love to see
especially if the incentives
like
come back, because then...
Yeah, they're still talking.
Yeah, well, Mifa's been at their job. You know, they're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
The new president, Justin George, I used to know Justin George. Jeff George, who I've worked with a couple of times, he's the new president of MIFA, and he's an amazing guy, and I think he'll do a lot for us.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah, it was the guy that was a DP on Stealing Jokes.
Oh, okay.
Sent the whole G&E crew personalized engraved knives. Like,
oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah. It's very nice. So what have you been up to professionally since we've been... here I am ranting on.
I know.
All these great questions. Is that...
So it's been a year. I just had a release, Corruption, premiered in maybe a couple weeks ago. Was it the tail end of September?
It was about 2 weeks ago.
We shot that in June. Did a lot of prep work on it. It was a very interesting experience because it was a first-time writer-director, Teddy Van Gogh, who I'd previously worked with in Blackstreet Blues. He was an actor.
Okay.
Blackstreet Blues is available to watch on Tubi now, so you nice. Can check that out. But he had approached me. I was the first AD on Blackstreet Blues, and so he had worked with me then. He approached me way back in... It was like February or March.
No, I worked one day on that. I did not meet Teddy during that, though, right?
Blackstreet?
Yeah.
No, you did not. No, he... So Blackstreet Blues is segmented in stories, and his story segment was in the first couple of days. So
okay, right.
Our
so
schedule,
you got him out of the way. I get
yeah, so yeah. Our schedule was episodic in who we had on right. set each day. But yeah, this was his first venture. He wanted to do something different for the city. He wanted to you know, he wanted to take a different approach to Detroit culture.
Yeah.
And so he went with a legal drama. And Corruption is about a Detroit DA taking down the current mayor of Detroit based on allegations that they came about. What was really interesting about this project was that, one, Teddy was a current MPI student while we were working together.
Motion Picture Institute, yeah.
So, yes, the Motion Picture Institute in Troy. From that, a lot of our crew came from the school.
So a lot of green years, yeah.
And so starting with prep, you know, he wanted to, you know, learn from previous mistakes that other people have made. He wanted to take in some of the things that he's seen happening in the environment. What could we do better? Well, but at the same time, it was a learning.
Yeah.
It was a learning, but at the same time, it was a learning project for him. So there's no way anyone could come in perfectly. But it, his attitude and his approach was very refreshing for me because it allowed he welcomed me in.
Yeah.
As an AD, I mean, really, sometimes
he appreciated the expertise you do have,
right? And so it may be a little bit heavily, you know, an experienced director or experienced producer.
Yeah, you probably did more than you were used to, but willingly, because I saw. I mean, I wasn't on this one, not for lack of you trying, but you know, budget and everything. But I saw the posts online, and we're very close, so you told me all the stories, mm-hmm. and just it seemed like an amazing group for like the camaraderie. Like it seemed like almost like when we were on Itchy together, that kind of more like you don't see
yeah
that
so there was a strong
time.
Familial feel within the crew. It was vibrant and refreshing because people weren't they weren't suffering from the been here before type of thing. It was exciting to them to be on set. They didn't have what's the word I'm looking for.
They didn't have the callus of life.
Yes,
on them.
Yes, yeah. They weren't. Too many people when they end up on set,
jaded.
It's jaded. That was the word I'm looking for. They're not jaded by the fact that like, oh, I could be on any set, you know, and it's not really like that, you know. We take for granted when we are on set when for the times that we're not on set, you know, it's too often we're not on set because you know it's a contractual job.
Yeah.
You know, we don't work every day and we don't know what's happening next week or so on and so forth. But for them to be,
if you're new to that, you like there's red flags, and especially the first day that it, when you get on production, that when you've been in a long time, you're like, oh,
some people just have
dread
a
sits in,
yeah
sets
some people
in
just
early.
Have a forlorn look like it's just another day at work, and you know, that's sad to me because this is an awesome job, you
it
know,
is. And
any number
lucky
of the positions.
To do it, but that
so to
doesn't mean we're not human and don't have needs,
right? So because the schedule was crazy,
like,
the script started.
What if I have to poop, Brad?
Then you
how
just
how many sets have I been on where I like what if I have
listen
to poop?
The number of times I hold it and then agonize
so
after a 14-hour day is countless. No,
it's hard to get that track up and going.
Well, I mean, when it's been knocking at your door and you keep telling it to go find somewhere else. Yeah, it just is like, hey, no, we told you. We're done. We're over it. We've compacted. We're staying.
No, most productions are lovely. We always have a great time. They always take care of us. You know, there's always those times where you're stuck out in the woods. And you gotta,
sometimes,
you, gotta
you know, or a small house and there's a bathroom there, but that's where the first
you
AC
wanna,
sits or
yeah,
that's where makeup is.
You don't
or
blow that
it's
up.
Just, it's mm-hmm. too difficult. But no, bathrooms aside, the excitement that the schedule.
I got a good story to make up for bringing up bathrooms.
Okay. Well, I look
so
forward to that.
I was at the Shinoah Hotel, and this was for, I believe, either Price of Love or, yeah, it's Price of Love. Old, yeah, 2019.
Oh, so old. It's like so many years ago.
It was one of my first ones with Dylan. Anyway, exactly like you said, the bathroom had this like beautiful, nice suite, and the bathroom's used for makeup and wardrobe, and yeah, I got a number two, dude. Like, yeah. I got to deuce it up hard, right? So, of course, there's a public restroom in the lobby, but we're, like, on the 11th floor and mm-hmm. shit. So we got to go back down and go. Well, there's only one toilet and two urinals in the public men's. And dude's in there. He's already blown it up.
And there's 11 floors, and they have two urinals and a shitter?
In the lobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because...
The private one is make up more.
Yeah, go to your room and use your own.
Yeah.
Well, dude's already in there, and he's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure of this. I just want to put... So...
What's ETA on that 10-2 there, buddy?
The women's had six toilets with, like... 3 inches from the floor, marble cover, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And no one was in there. And I had to check because I had to go. Like, it was coming out either in that hallway.
One way or another.
Right. So I go in real quiet and I'm like, nobody. I like checked. There's 3 inches, dude. I checked under all of them. That's creepy. I know. But I made sure. And I, yeah. So here we go. And I get all the noise out, luckily. But someone comes in and I'm still there and I'm not done, but I don't want, you know, you don't want to, I guess women blow it up too, but I don't, I've never shat in a fancy ass hotel's woman's bathroom. Okay. And she winds up being in a long time and she is pretty loud. So I was able to just get comfortable with it. Right. And try to get out of there. And apparently, she saw a shoe or something. Like, she saw my toe, or I don't know. Like, there's 3 inches. Like, what? I do have big feet. Like, did it go under the? I don't know. But I go out and I go out front and I have a cigarette and I'm just like, I can't believe I got away with it. What the fuck just happened? You know what I mean? And the what's he called? Like, the manager or the
concierge?
Yeah, the concierge comes out to me while I'm smoking a cigarette with this old lady. Dressed very, like, sir, did you just utilize the women's restroom? And I was like, what do you want me to say, man? I had to go. Where'd you want me to do it? I did it on a toilet. Like, yeah. He was just like, you're not allowed to be here anymore, sir. I'm like, I'm here with it. And I told him the room. He's like, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. We can't do it. I was like, do you want me to just leave till I'm done with my cigarette, because I could go back to work. And it was just crazy how,
you know, like, sometimes you got to make it happen.
You have a problem with that.
Sometimes you got to make, you know, that's a whole different discussion for a whole different podcast.
It's a toilet.
It is a toilet, and the doors are closed.
Can I relieve myself? Like, and why do they get six and we only get three? I'm including the urinals as toilets here. We get three, they get six.
Yeah.
Like, just one more toilet would have avoided the whole
situation. So, a couple weeks ago, we were shooting Phantomine with Ro, Dazon, and Jazar Riches. And we were at the breakout box, which is funny. So, I know the owner there.
The breakout box. Is it escape room?
Student. It's a, not student, studio. It's recording studio. Right off of, fuck, I don't remember where it was.
But you know the owner.
Vernon. But, well, that's
Vernon Highway?
Yeah. So that's a coincidence, because I'd actually been there before. I shot Black Olive there with Nate and Rodney, and had no idea at the time. And then this time I was there, I knew it was J5's, and I was like, holy shit, but he wasn't there. That's not part of the story. The story is, the studio, it's a building, like you were mentioning, where it's multiple suites and then there's the collective bathroom. Well, having been there before, I was like, oh, I know the bathroom downstairs is real crap, and I needed to go. And the start of the day, I was like, man, we're going to be here a while. I got to go. Well,
You got to go.
The bathroom, so I find the bathroom. It's not unisex, or it is unisex. Anyone can use this bathroom, is the point. But it's not a solo bathroom. So you walk in, there's no lock on the main door. There are two urinals, two stalls, filthy. I mean, old, aged, filthy.
Squatters.
But I was like, okay, well, let me take a look at this. So I step into the stall, and I realize that there's no lock on the stall door. So not only is there not a lock on the outside door, but there's not a lock on the private door.
Right.
So I decided to just, number
and
one.
It's dirty. Well, that's what I mean by squatter. You got to hover over the toilet.
But this is what I'm getting
door.
To. So this is a bathroom for everyone. So while I was able to at least make something work, the females.
Oh, poor ladies. Yeah.
There's, I mean, because here's the thing. The door opened outward. Which means that you can't sit and hold the door closed.
Oh, the devilish bastards.
It opened outward.
Wow.
So anyone can just open and, oh shit, I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
Yeah, that's so fraternity-style rapey, dude.
Dude, like, so I learned that there was bathrooms. This was in the basement. I learned there was bathrooms upstairs. I was like, okay, let me go check it out. I walked upstairs.
Equally rapey?
I don't know, because I found it. And there was no lock on the main door. And again, it didn't say men or women. It was just bathroom. I opened the door. And as soon as someone goes, yeah, hello?
Oh, no.
So I turned around and ran. But yeah, so this whole building of whoever gets to use there. Yeah. Fuck that bathroom.
Studio Center, right?
I'm just kidding. I don't remember. Center. I mean, it's not a place you'll end up often, but you'll end up there for a specific reason, I'm sure. But yeah, that was on Phantom Mind, which was another fun romp. I'm excited to see that one come out. Ro and Jazar are always fun to work with. Jazar, as a creator, always tries to find a different type of story to tell, even if it is within the same realm of, you know, a lot of what the stories the communities tell. So being able to take a different approach, like this one was a very single white female, but in the more of the obsessor being someone that you didn't expect to be the obsessor. So it's just a twist on the obsession thriller. And ultimately, I think it's going to be pretty fun. Do you have any movies that have released recently?
Oh, yeah. Actually, two that just dropped. A Family Divided, which you were my key grip on.
Mm-hmm.
I gaffed that with Dylan and Ro and one of my favorite writer-producers, Renika McQueen Eccles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's amazing. And that movie's outstanding. I don't often cry, especially on things I've worked on.
So
that,
you watched
that's a tearjerker.
You watched it, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I always go to my premieres, unless I'm working on the next project.
Yep.
And that one happened to be one I couldn't make this year. I missed that premiere, so I make it a habit to at least see it once, and you know. Sometimes I put it on while I'm cleaning or getting tasks done. Just, you know, you want to
get the players.
Support your local artists.
Right? Yeah, no, I'm not against that.
Also, almost the same day, at least I found out the same day.
I found out the same day as well.
All the Shine.
Yep, All the Shine's now on Tubi.
You were first AD
on that one. That was with Xavier Miles, who also wrote and directed.
I was a second unit gaffer, but you won't find that in the credits. Anyways, regardless, it was a beautiful experience, and the green glow in there, I experimented with that with Xavier, and he loved it, and he ran with it, and it turned out great.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch that one. I've seen earlier edits of it, but I'd like to see the finished product. I'd like to see what
it could use a cleaner edit for like story clarity, but visually, I'm happy with it. And as a gaffer, sometimes I have to just go do these.
I mean, that's the hard part about being a first AD. I mean, if it's shot and the day is complete, that's the end of the job.
Everything looks good.
I can't do anything.
All the gags were pulled off. Everything made sense, and nothing was wrong with it per se. I just thought there was more there. I think they were more concentrated on length.
Well, I mean, it was a tough shoot because
felt a little rushed.
A lot of the different pieces of the puzzle going in. You were there,
Things changed.
Things changed, and
there
audibles
had to be rewrite that happened overnight because we didn't have time to wait.
Yeah, so yeah. I mean, you know, there's always going to be that I think is one of the great tales of art. You know, the what comes of the sacrifices that you make, what comes of the challenges that are put in front of you. Sometimes it works out incredibly in your favor. Sometimes maybe you wish it would have gone, you know, differently. But ultimately, I think those are the times that we grow as artists. That,
oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
For the next time around.
It's a watchable movie. I enjoyed it. Like, I finished it. You know what I mean? I was watching it more as a professional, but I did enjoy the movie. It was just with our trained eye, you know, sometimes we catch things and maybe other people didn't catch, or I know things that were recorded.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I see that a lot with, and until we put out a feature of our own, it's really hard to be too opinionated. It's like Dance Moms, right? Dance Moms can sit there and knit and pick apart all of the other classmates, but you're not up there doing the fouettés, you're not up there doing the arabesques and such. So it's like, what really puts you in that position?
Xavier, like, there were things that I could tell he added in post that, and I really did enjoy them. Excuse me. I did enjoy, like, his additives that I could tell were in post. And I could only tell because I was there when the filming, and I was like, mm-hmm. that was done well. You know, mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was very enjoyable. It was a good movie. But I do see, like, in his approach specifically, a little bit of a, he likes to jump through the story a little Quentin Tarantino-y, and I think he needs to refine that personally.
Yeah, I don't recall that being
not that
in
he's
the
not
script
doing
that
it
way,
well,
so but I'll have to see the final product and see what you're referencing, but yeah, I mean, it's like I was saying, we learned. So he's a very ambitious writer, director. And that's really what I love about him, because he doesn't want to just do the easy play. And sometimes part of taking risks is that, you know, it's a leap of faith, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's either going to work or it's not, but you have to try.
Yeah, and it's definitely smoother in story and edit than Black Straight Blues was, which mm-hmm. was also still, like, well done and enjoyable. Just had those rough edges. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they're
more refined.
That's a whole different story too.
In All the Shine, they are well more refined. So,
I mean, that just comes to the conversations we've had in the past here, where, you know, sometimes the budget doesn't the budget dictates what in the script you're able to do, and sometimes the scripts are too ambitious.
A lot of times.
The budgets could be more ambitious and the way of getting around things.
That's,
you know,
usually the case right there.
You know, you can be stubborn and be like, no, I insist on having this whole thing. But, you know, we do have a lot more to talk about. Did you want to take a quick break and come back?
Let's take a quick break, come back with a new...
All right, when we come back, I think we're going to talk about...
to what's next.
What's next for the UF...
What's been happening behind the scenes when we weren't on mic or on set.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about our studio, UFO Studios, Unorthodox Film Outcasts, and maybe see where we plan on taking that. So we will be back here in just a quick moment.
Well, Hank...
We are back from our little break. Emptied our bladders a little bit.
Yeah. Figure some stuff out.
Interpersonally. Any other 2023 projects that were of note for you? We did a little short together. Some of us grouped together.
For the Cards Against Humanity Film Festival contest. Unfortunately, we didn't qualify, but it was a really great team-building experience. It was very likened to a 48-hour film festival, but we did have a bit more time than that.
Yeah, I mean, the idea came
7 days of inception,
right?
2 days of filming.
It was due July 25th, and the idea for us all to collaborate came to us end of June.
Yeah, like June 29th.
And by the first, we were shooting. We did 3 days of shooting, and then, you know, there was some post-production, and we got it sent in. A little horror fiction thing. I had an opportunity to act in it. You had an opportunity to act in it.
Yeah, it was so much fun.
But your main role was a gaffer.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought the lighting scheme in it was brilliant with you guys.
Oh, that was so much fun, yeah. Like I said, just anytime I have a chance to really spread my wings creatively, you get something that's interesting in the picture itself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I just love that. That's what I love, you know, bringing the frame to life outside of the performances.
Well, what was really cool was it was a very simple set. We shot in a basement of a house that's being renovated, so the basement hadn't had any love yet, which was perfect right. for us. We wanted it to look a bit
dungeon-esque.
Yep. But at the same time, with the limited set deck that we had, the lighting was really key to bringing character to the set, and I think that
It gave it depth. At the same time, it gave it character. Like. Mm-hmm. We used to show passage of time. I don't know how prevalent that was in the edit, but that was the theory behind
right.
some of those, right? So, like, the sun doesn't seem to move, yet it changes tone a little bit.
Right.
And at the same time as that, the faulty bulb effect on the hanging bulbs mixed with, like, the unexplained kind of
colored.
I don't want to say disco lights, but we had like a color chase theme going, mm-hmm. and sometimes it wasn't, sometimes it was, and when it wasn't, it was solid to certain colors, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, and just all these little accents, like this old radio I took apart and stuck a light in,
yeah,
like, just little things to light up little areas, and yeah, it was so much fun.
Yeah, ultimately, I think it turned out really well, visually speaking, with the lights. It was... an interesting project, like you said, team building, you know, for us to come together, use our basic approach was to figure out what we had access to and what we would have trouble getting.
In almost military style fashion. Like, mm-hmm. it had to be so fast, so concise. Like, mm-hmm. and if we can do this,
what
if
else
we give
can
ourselves
we do?
Time, what can we accomplish?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we move off of Like and Subscribe, which will be available eventually with the contest going the way that it did, because it was a time crunch thing. Yeah. We fired it off. So
yeah, and we've got some
we're
going
to put it back in.
Yeah,
to put a little more love into the post-production.
Maybe one of our first releases of 24.
Possibly,
kind of thing,
yeah.
Along with this podcast, actually.
We want to go back, not to the drawing board, but to the just go back into the edit and definitely can have some audio and possibly some short edits and things like that. Maybe even do a title sequence. I don't know. But it'll be eventually available. The last project that I would like to talk about, and I know we can't talk too much about it with the NDAs that we signed, but before we move into the future of
UFO,
what we have going, I wanted to talk a little bit about the agency.
Oh, yeah, the agency, which, as a matter of fact, I almost brought up earlier when you were telling the Corruption story, because at the premiere of Corruption, some of the characters from the agency showed up to get some B-roll for
they did.
One
they
of
did.
Our episodes, yeah,
they shot,
which is really amazing.
I heard it went well.
To incorporate our real life into that like this. But, yeah, the agency is this amazing little show thought up by... Tennille Tereskovich, Matt Santia, and Melinda Bryce,
mm-hmm.
and
Kendra Renee.
Yes, let's not forget her, because she had such a great hand in so many of the mm-hmm. funny parts of the script. And it's as loosely...
So, yeah, I mean, we can't...
improv show.
We can't give away too much about it, but it was an opportunity for a group of us to get together to... produce a show based on an experimental idea that Tennille had.
It was just amazing.
I am editing 4 of the 8 episodes. A new friend of ours, Brett Naples, is going to be doing 4 of the other ones.
Yeah, I love Brett. He's so talented.
You came on as the
gaffer.
Which was an interesting experience because, you know, we had very little time. So each episode of about 15 pages was shot in a day. And the days really only ran between 9 and 10 hours, so they had to be
right.
super
and each
tight.
Each scene was roughly a minute long, right? Obviously, there's improv, so there's play there, but we tried to... And each episode turned out to be about, what, 22
minutes is our goal, yeah.
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 What were some of the challenges that you found with that scenario when it came to lighting something like that? And you know, we were at M1 Studios, which is a fine enough size for an office, but as a shooting space.
Right, but with an ensemble cast and several episodes having quite a few extras, there was a bit of trouble with people management, so moving equipment back and forth. So at first, we were jumping around the studio quite a bit, like back and forth, and we kind of got that reined in. I still would have focused more on, hey, we're in this area, shoot. If we go to the front at all, you stay there. If
right,
you go
shoot
to the back
out.
At all, that's, yeah. Like, if we're starting in the back, everything in the back before you go up front. And sometimes there's back and forth. Which, understandably, at certain times, like, you know what I mean? Concessions have to be made for other people's schedules and, like, you know, timing of lunch. And, you know, there's all sorts of factors. Telling an AD. But for the people listening, they need to know there are all these factors. So, like, as a gaffer, as a lighting technician, I'm always focused on what's best for lighting, and sometimes what's best for lighting is not necessarily best for production, and we have to make that sacrifice, and that's a willing sacrifice, I'm not saying. But yeah, since it was so fast-paced and so quick-moving, we had to do very little lighting adjustments, and we weren't in an actual studio. We didn't have, like, real pre-production time to, like, block these shots out to the point where people are so familiar with their lines that the ad-libs were just for fun. So a lot of times, like, we'd do a shot and the lighting wouldn't be excellent. It was never horrible. But, you know, it's a reality show. It's
basically what you're
show.
Saying is
I had to
if
light
you had more time, you would have made other choices.
I wouldn't have made it as semi-flat as it turned out. Like, I made sure that, you know, they had hair lights and eye lights and all this, but we couldn't give it the depth some of the shots needed because we didn't have the time. It was more about two cameras, four takes, next scene.
Yeah.
You know, and we got really good at that machine. We got really good at it. Yeah, I think the next season, it needs to be a little more of the pre-planning. And, like, the sketches we had to know, like, hey, camera's supposed to be here for this scene. You know, all that was beautiful. Just needs to be a little more fine-tuned so that people understand it a little better.
Sure. I mean, I think a larger space would be great.
Yes, yeah. Accommodate, like, we're, you know, the camera guy is not married to my stand with the light. And if they pan too far, they're catching the other.
Oh yeah, I mean, even in the edits, there's moments where
M1 Studio is a beautiful space,
cropping,
but
will
a lot of odd angles
necessary
and a lot of really difficult shots because of the angles in the walls, especially when we shot in Dusty's office.
Yeah,
the curved wall.
No, there was always someone just off frame, and any slight movement would
right.
have killed that. But I am looking forward to it. It was a lot of fun.
So much fun.
I had another opportunity to act in that, a little behind the scenes there.
I think
but
we literally talked about all the bad things from my experience. That was it.
Yeah, I
everything
mean,
else was beautiful.
The editing, it has been a joy. I've got two episodes I'll be working on next month here. Two of the more challenging episodes for me as far as an editor goes. But I think ultimately these next challenging episodes, especially what Brett has coming
your
up.
Your rough cuts of the first two are so good. Like, you don't have to, like,
I mean, I'm not personally concerned about, I'm not concerned at all. What I'm saying is they're going to be a challenge.
Episode is
they're going to be a challenge,
content,
but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I am looking forward to this to be released to the world for them to see what we were able to come up with the restrictions and the limitations that we had.
Yeah. And being asked to act in this, like, becoming a character for this world that we...
Yeah, your character is one of my favorites in the series. So
I had a lot of fun doing all that, and I can't wait for the world to see it, because it was so natural for me to fall into that with all these people that were just so talented. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like every time, like, I could step away from the in front of the camera, and there I am doing the gaffing. And I felt the difference, you know.
The new cast members that I was able to meet through this project,
amazing,
I'm really grateful
people.
For. Yeah, and so I am excited for a project like this to possibly lift and introduce some new talent from the area as well. Because I thought, like, Daniel was a surprise for me, for someone having not performed in this way. You know, he's being a performer himself, but not in the capacity that TV and film offers.
Daniel portrayed Parker brilliantly, and the way we were able to incorporate the real life into that character in a way that was still fitting for the show. And
everything is
so freeing for Daniel, he said. So
I know he had a lot of fun.
Daniel, we're coming after you. We're going to get you on this show.
Oh, that would be awesome. Hopefully he watches movies. It's a surprising number of people who work in film.
Well, no, for Sound Life, he doesn't have to watch anything.
Yeah, that's true. So let's talk a little bit about what we as a company, as the Unorthodox Film Outcast Studios,
we don't own two yet.
What have we been talking about? What's in our pipeline as far as like our growth and our future of what we want out of this collaboration?
Well, as partners and filmmakers, we've always wanted to create content that we're proud of, in one way, shape, or form, usually through the medium of video, right? Like I did start doing, you know, sound and radio and stuff, but I went to Specs Howard as you did to get just as a, you know, certificate.
RT 1108
to get in RVF. What was it? 12. RVF 12.
RVF. They already changed it.
Right after I left,
it was no longer RTV.
Yeah, what Emery was telling me.
That was radio television, and then you became radio video film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wasn't just 12, it was like 212 or something, because we started in February or some shit, or graduated in February or some shit. Yeah. It was a good time, but I really, you know, you get into it to learn something, but really to try to get a plug into the world.
Right.
Because the education, as good as it was on what it was, it didn't get...
It was very
baseline.
You or
I, where we are, or anybody I know who went there, where they got to.
No, it's very baseline.
Yeah.
It is cool to get hands-on. They were very specific.
There's all sorts of courses you can take, but it's your gusto that gets you to where you want. You know, it's determination that gets you into this business. Regardless, where was I going with this?
I don't know. I was going to let you go, but we were talking about our future.
Yeah, our future. So, that's really what started us on this case. Is we ran back into each other after years and years. We were thespians together in high school. We both went and decided, like, okay, we want to do video somehow. We want to make movies, right? And it took a while. It took a lot of gusto for us to get there. And we're making movies, man. And we decided that we want to make our own movie. And, like, you want to direct, I want to DP, and eventually I want to direct something, you know what I mean? But like that's the whole point, is we want to be able to do all these things we're helping other people do. We finally achieved our dream, but like there's steps to it. Exactly. That's ultimately the part I forgot that I was leading to, is there's all these steps, and we're so close. We have a script that we believe in, we love, and we have a plan for, and yes, you can go directly after. You can chase that and, like, no holds bar, no looking back, and get it done at the skin of your teeth and all that. And we've seen tons of people doing it.
Yeah, we've worked on those.
It's a great experience. It can be, you know, friendship building. It can, you know, it can be all these things. But we do that already. And we wanted our first one to be like more of proof that you can step up your game from that if you just plan a little, take a little time, be patient, love your project. And in that, we learned that we need to create more of a character for ourselves in the community and be more present with the people we work with and really nurture our relationships. And that led us to believing, you know, doing the podcast that we really always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And this gave us that reason. So ultimately, that story is the culmination of how we got right here.
Right.
And how we're trying to plan forward for our movie,
Nightcap.
Hashtag trademark. All that. Like Nightcap and our newest idea, which we also believe will be more attainable, just like the podcast, than the feature, which, you know, is a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of preparation. But a series when you're doing like 20 minute episodes, because we've done so many shorts over weekends or mm-hmm. throughout a 3 day week, that we can do an anthology series.
Yeah, so we've talked about we're going to
Declassified Tales from UFO Studios.
Yeah, we've started the concept and we've already got some episode outlines, and what we'd like to do is develop this streaming series of separate individual anthology. Does that break down anthological?
Yeah, yeah.
An anthological approach, similar to a Twilight Zone or
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Right, Black Mirror, possibly more recently.
More recently, yeah.
And you know, short stories, and that's basically what an anthology is. It's a short story. So it gives us an opportunity to make full fledged films in a smaller approach, but allow us to
weird ideas
to submit this content in a dose and you know, build there's up as opposed to
something on the way
having to
something.
All right,
yeah, that's from a Twilight, never mind.
Shatner? No, yeah. It was obviously Shatner.
Yeah. And when they redid it was what's his name, fucking Jonathan Lithgow, fucking love him. Yeah.
What, Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, there's ones
they
out there
they redid the same episode with,
same episode, okay.
Lithgow played Shatner, and it was fucking
so
almost sketch comedy.
More to the point, Joe gets on tangents. I don't remember what I was
saying. There's something on the wing. We're gonna do all sorts of different types of stories.
Yes,
we're gonna do folklore and horror and sci-fi, or you know, just like reimaginations of poetry or any short story out there that we can find that is either worth buying the rights to or in the public realm, you know, just mm-hmm. and try to spread our wings in different ways and give people we meet in the world, in our community, a chance to do some, like, oh, I met the second AD, but she really wants to try her hand at blah, 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 and we're going to let her do this on this episode and things like that, you know, and a way to experiment within your own art and see if you like a different avenue of it. Like, sometimes I'll star in one, and maybe, because you used to do camera, well, you should DP one. You have a good eye.
I don't have any opposition to it. I don't have a focus on it, is really all it is. You know, I want to...
No, but it's one of those things, like, for an episode, for a weekend, you know what I mean?
I'm definitely not opposed. But yeah, you're right. The opportunity, we wanted to create content in our community that would allow for the people who seem to be doing really well in certain positions, but because of the size of our community, having trouble moving up and demonstrating and
taking that next step.
So
we want to try to be that next step for people,
and be a next step for us, be the next step for them, but at the same time create content that we can put out that would ultimately help us finance or help us be visible for financing for our other projects. So I would like to say, you know, it would be cool, it would be a nice goal for us to probably have 3 of these episodes done by 2024. What does that sound like to you?
I mean, it's a great goal. It's a little ambitious at this point.
That's why I went with 3 instead of 2. Two sounds doable and not easy, but...
I think I like the challenge, but I think it's going to be more... Excuse me. It's going to be more based on... Just because this year...
Yeah, this year was a funny year.
It was so rough for so many people.
Yeah, we came into it with a lot of aspirations.
And the work is finally starting to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I called that shit. I know it's been 6 months since an episode, but look back. And I said, and after the third quarter, when they haven't spent nothing on their advertising budget and they got all that money left, doesn't matter if they're still on strike, they're going to throw that shit in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fucking doing it. Regardless, I digress. I believe because we're offering ownership and back-end points mm-hmm. and no actual money until mm-hmm. we get the first season done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at best, gas money for people who have to come a long way or haul things. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be harder this winter than it would have been last winter.
Sure.
Because there's...
Sure. There's, not a lot of room for sacrifice.
Yeah. Nobody has that extra fat to trim like mm-hmm. they like we're used to having.
Right.
But I don't think it's unattainable.
I would just like to put a pedestal there, something, a carrot
I
to
like,
reach
out. I like the carrot, yeah.
You know, that's,
I don't want to call it a pedestal.
Because, you know, I mean, I eventually would love to make them
holding it up
faster because, you know, three episodes isn't a season. And so
the
it's like, do you release the three of them?
We can keep chasing it. You know what I mean?
You hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Do you just set three out there and then, you know, it's like, it, you know, three, say that's 3 years before
the
season
yeah,
is done.
Yeah, we can have them done. I don't know about released. But, yeah, if we can do three episodes every 2 months,
that build a machine
amazing.
That in some way figures
Precisely.
Itself out so
yeah.
that because I mean with like and subscribe we've shown ourselves that at least filming wise we can get something done in you know a small period of time
days.
Right
yeah.
and I think that is still a attainable task but we cannot forget that we need the time to pre-plan in order for that to go smoothly and then there's the post-production
right.
of it so I think once we build a team together. But if we can at least get a couple of episodes available and then maybe even treat them like short films and maybe post them out there to try and use as feelers for
right.
financing and so forth. And then we
yeah.
have the two, you know, pipelines going of how to figure it out.
yeah, 100%.
But that's kind of what's on our mind. Like, you know, we're starting from scratch, you know. And,
we know how to make the art.
We're
how do we sell the art?
Kind of journaling it through hashtag Set Life. So we wanted to
yeah.
kind of bring you up to speed on what is in our pipeline and what we're thinking about. And maybe the stuff we talk about today changes a year from now.
Yeah.
But hopefully that changes for the better and for a better progress.
I had a conversation about this with somebody other than you recently in the business, Santiago,
mm-hmm.
our good friend Santi.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to have him on the show. Love to,
oh, I would love,
love
to have him on the
hook
show.
That up. But it was refreshing to know that, because he's done so many shorts, and he's, in my eyes, a little more accomplished in different ways than I am,
mm-hmm.
right?
I think that's fair.
But he came to me for advice about things that I didn't really think I knew about. But when he asked me the question, I had answers that he found helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, it was nice to learn that about myself and to even go, well, this is, you should probably ask this person.
Mm-hmm.
This person could probably tell you that. I learned this from them.
Right.
Right. And it renewed my own faith and my own knowledge mm-hmm. a little bit, which was nice.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So just talking with your friends can, you know, help keep you motivated. If you're in that writer's block, whatever creative block,
mm-hmm.
reach out to your people. They're there for you.
I would definitely recommend leveraging your network. And if you don't think you have a network, reevaluate that. Look at your friends to see who have similar interests in you.
Yeah.
Don't be closed-minded, you know.
And 100%, if you connected with somebody on set, don't think because they haven't called you, they won't answer your call or text.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
We're all thinking we're going to be the imposer.
Yeah.
Just call them.
Yeah, that's true.
The connection's genuine. It's a digital age. We
right.
all have our lives.
Right, and you're not going to hang out with them every weekend. There are some people that I consider true friends that I really only see when I'm on set, and I'm grateful for that time, and I'm sad when the time is over. But
friends I haven't seen in 10 years, but I talk to them twice a year, if that. But it happens,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
So, leverage your network. Build a network. If you genuinely don't think that you've got a network, I'm not
if
a good networker.
If you got somebody's number, they want to hear you call.
I'm a shy networker.
If they don't, they won't answer. You are a shy networker.
I'm a shy networker. So. Yeah, I just, every time I say something, you got something else, so I just want to make sure you're done. I'm a shy networker, and I can admit that it becomes difficult. You know, I don't like doing, you know, large parties. We had a rap party recently. I spoke to the people that I always speak to. But taking a little bit of effort to at least say hi or bump into someone at the snack table to just warm up, the relationship will allow for a warmer reception the next time you see them, and over time you'll see that you're more remembered than you'd like to believe yourself you are. And if you're an overconfident person, that's great too. Get in there. Don't be shy.
Hi.
Yeah, don't be shy. Get in there. Say hello.
Does me well.
Ask questions. We always encourage that. I think that we've mentioned that here before.
I just call it confident. He says overconfident.
You just literally volunteered. I didn't point at you at all. You were like,
you don't have
all
to
right,
point
man,
at me. You've said
I wasn't
it before.
Implying you.
I heard you. I love you, dude.
So what else? What else, Joe? Future episodes of hashtag Set Life. What do you guys want to know? What do you want to hear? Who do you want us to invite on? What are some of the aspects of filmmaking that you have interest in? And because again, we're not experts in any way. That's not what we're here for. We're here.
We're working towards it. We're trying to be.
We're here because we are in the industry and we have access to things and we're learning. So we're sharing what we learn, whether that's stuff that we have recently come into and learned or things that
we've
learned.
And we're doing it off kind of the top of our head. We kind of do like, we have a planned topic and we talk about our own experiences, but we've only learned so much. So we're not infallible. And again, like you said, we're not who's an expert, if we're not telling you the way that you're getting something from this, let us know what we can add to this to tell you and a more direct way to better communicate with you.
Because then we'll reach into our network, as I just recommended, as we recommended that you do, and we'll bring somebody on and have them speak to us and learn us on the topics that you guys are looking for. So we really are looking for feedback. What's our email, Joe? It's ufostudio.detroit@gmail.com.
Yes.
So email us your suggestions and email us suggestions for topics for the UF pod as well. We kind of are going to be airing these things.
We've yet to start the UFP Instagram or anything like that, but I'm sure we will be. But aside from that, you can reach Bradford and I on our individual Instagrams. Mine is chaotic_artisan.
And you can find me at Bford Clark. That's B-F-O-R-D Clark. You can follow us there, and don't be shy. I've got so many fake accounts following me. It'd be nice to have a real person every now and then.
Why is that hit so far? Why is that hit so hard to home?
Because it's so fucking true.
Yeah.
But we look forward to connecting with you all, and we look forward to bringing you more episodes. So for today, I am Bradford here with
Joseph.
And we will see you next time on hashtag Set Life.
All right, y'all.